Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Bald Head Radio. Excuse me. I'm your host, Brett Crewson, of course. And tonight I've got a great show. I've been looking forward to this for many, many months. And two beautiful ladies I have on, both who have done my show individually during the past year. Tonight I have them both on together. And when these two get together, oh boy, is it a lot of fun. Big fan of their internet show there. It's at the YouTube called Scream Queens, Queen Scream. I'm still tripping over my tongue on that one. Love watching that show. A show had just been put out tonight. Another Cooking with Jay Cam, of course. Those are some of my favorites. Because as we all know, Jessica Cameron cannot cook, and Heather Dorff is an excellent cook. So having these two together, Heather showing Jessica how to cook different types of meals and what have you. And there's a plethora of other things that they've got on their channel there at the YouTubes. So I'm going to bring Heather Dorff on first and see how she's doing tonight. Miss Heather Dorff,
Hi.
How are you doing? Hi.
I'm doing good. We should mention, yeah. Jess, per usual, for anyone that watches the stream, Jess is late. She'll be here, though, shortly.
Is this a normal kind of thing?
It is. I tend to tell her a 2 hour earlier, like starting time, because she's always like at least an hour, if not 2 hours late, especially when we're filming a Scream Queen stream, because she knows she has some flexibility. So I literally purposely, but she's caught on to that now. So now I'm up to like telling her 4 hours earlier than expected. So that way.
Oh, wow. How do you fit how do you fit that show in with all of the other things that that you guys are doing? How do you find the time to do it?
Yeah, it's very difficult, honestly, because like really we both like pretty much do the show by ourselves. I mean, we film it, I edit it, you know, I'm upload it, then she like fixes all the front end stuff on YouTube and inputs the information stuff, and then we manage the Patreon. So it's a bit of a, it's definitely a life commitment. You know, episodes take, you know, anywhere between 3 or 4 hours to shoot. And then obviously, you know, at least a couple hours, sometimes longer to edit, and then, you know, render and upload and all that kind of stuff. So it's definitely a commitment. And we try our best as we can to make it work, but it's definitely challenging. I mean, especially, you know, I mean, both of us, I, you know, have a full-time career and then also part-time. I run an Airbnb and all these things. So really it's like I live like a very dual, I have multiple jobs, actress and editor and web series host. It's just like, oi. But
this show you put out every week. I mean, every Thursday night.
Right.
you guys put out a show. Now, for your Patreons, they get it a day earlier than the rest of us. However, today I did notice that this week's episode was just put out today.
No, because it is. It usually is. So usually Patreon people get it on Monday, and then it goes live on Wednesday. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
So it goes live to the public
I usually don't catch it until about
Thursday.
The weekend or so when I, or if I have the time to sit down and watch, something like that. Because I watch a lot of YouTube. It's like my second TV kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much good stuff on the YouTubes that you can find. And there's a lot of crap, too, if you're interested in that. I mean, it's just about everything is out there. It's actually pretty cool. I remember joining YouTube when it first came out before Google bought it back in, 2005, something like that.
Yeah.
And there was
this
very tight-knit YouTube community group of people. And, I didn't even start my own channel until maybe eight years ago or something. And I just throw up, I do barbecue cooking stuff and, just all kinds of weird different things I do. But lately, mostly it's been, my barbecue stuff. I don't know if you've ever checked it out or not, but it's Laptop Puppy over at the YouTubes there. If anybody ever really wanted to see what I do with my hobbies and stuff, that's a good place to go. And it's totally zero production value. I'm lucky if I can cut a couple clips together to make a longer video, but most of it just my wife is my camera woman, my ultimate support with all these different things that I do. Without her, I wouldn't even bother with it, but she makes it a lot of fun, So it's pretty cool. And I'm rambling. So, I've had a long day.
I know, you mentioned.
This is something that I don't normally talk about on Bald Head Radio. And especially of late, it's been in a topic of much contention amongst many, many Americans, and that is the presidential election, which we had yesterday. It was an extremely tight race. To be honest, in my years of voting this time around, I mean, every time we have an election, it's always, wow, I don't really want either one of these guys, but I got to choose one of them. And, you could go for a third party or you can write in a candidate if you want.
But it's not going to do much.
It's just throwing your vote away. So we have Donald Trump now is our elected presidential official. How do you feel about that?
I mean, here's the thing. I never have. So, way back when Hillary announced, her candidacy and Trump, honestly, I was not a fan of either of them. I did prefer Bernie for numerous reasons. I just thought he was the more logical human of the three, the more honest one as well. But I mean, he did have some sometimes extremely left or extremely right views. But again, I did just think he was the most sane candidate. But either way, we get Hillary, we get Trump. Again, I never faulted anyone for not wanting to vote for Hillary. She's made some very big, scary mistakes during her, reign, really, and so did her husband in some ways. And
I think saying very big mistakes would be putting it lightly.
Right, huge mistakes, and she flip flops a lot, based on she's an opportunist. At the end of the day, that's what she is. I swear to God, I make a joke. I mean, used to always make a joke. I'm like, she literally came out of her mom's womb and said, "I'm gonna be president one day." Like that was her first sentence right out of the womb. She knew. I've never appreciated her for that reason. I find her to be a career politician. And there's two people I don't trust in the world: career politicians and big business.
And unfortunately, these days they go hand in hand. That's the way it works anymore,
It is, and it's true. So I think Trump winning, because honest to God, I don't think he's a good human. As a human being, looking at his, last 30 years as a human, I think he is a horrible person. I just do. He's proved that time and time again. That being said, I think him winning proves that we have to change our system. People are sick of politicians, to be perfectly honest. They want honesty. They want people that are actually going to be straightforward and honest and affect change. And I get that. I totally do. But what I'm sad about, instead of, like, you know, Canada, us getting a Justin Trudeau, you know what I'm saying, a forward-thinking, super intellectual, charismatic, you know, peacemaker who's still, you know, pushing his country forward, we get Biff from Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what to say about that. It's depressing. We're supposed to be this amazing country, and we can't even put candidates forward who, you know, won't embarrass us on either end, on either spectrum. So.
Oh, yeah. This whole thing has been an embarrassment with the way the rest of the world has been watching. And they watch because, you know, the United States is a major power in on the world stage, and what we do politically sets a precedence, and it has a major effect on the rest of the world, the economy. When it comes to policies regarding our relationships with other countries, you know, there's a lot of things that Donald Trump has in his rhetoric that scares the rest of the world, especially on an economic point. And I mean, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, because is he going to listen to his advisors, or is he just going to just go gung ho as if he's on The Apprentice? And, you know,
well,
who knows what's going
to
happen?
And to be, that's my fear with him. That's a little bit of my fear. He's you know, there is such thing as being too passionate. To be perfectly honest, that's kind of the reason why I would never do politics and stuff, because I'm just too passionate, and I know I have bias, you know, and you just can't do that and be like a real political person, like, in my opinion. But it's hard to find that kind of quality in people that will, you know, move beyond their biases and make good decisions based on, you know, the whole and not just what they believe or what their particular party believes or whatever it may be. I mean, like I said, we'll see. Do I think he can completely trash our country in 4 years any worse than, you know, Bush did before him? No. You know, at the end of the day, we got through Bush. We got through that drama. We got through the recession. We can get through 4 years. And if he proves to be a good president, you know, I'll eat my hat. I will totally eat my hat on that, and I'll be happy.
Be happy to do so, yeah, if he ends up being a good president.
Yes, I will be excited to do so. I would love for him to prove me wrong. I am dead serious. Love for him to prove me wrong. And again, you know, I can't say enough. This is not like me being a bleeding heart liberal. I do not identify with that at all. I've never considered myself extremely left or right. And some people bash people like me for that. But it's like, no, that's logic, my friend. You see the good and bad in both sides. I think if you're an extremist, if you are extremely left or extremely right, you are a detriment to society.
I would think the way I look at it, I mean, as far as politics go, the only reason I started paying attention to it when I was younger is because it behooved me to do so as a citizen. There's a lot of countries where people don't have the same rights to make choices that we do. And I'm not going to bash anybody who decides not to vote or not to pay attention. In fact, what's worse than a person who doesn't vote is one who votes from an uninformed place. Or one who becomes so impassioned that they become blind to the true issues. So somebody that's very passionate about this side or that side, actually they become very short-sighted or narrow-sighted. They're not really looking at the bigger picture, which makes
that's
it even more detrimental.
Right. That's the problem when you're radical in your views. Like, and then this is like, really, this has nothing to do with just politics. This has to do with life as a whole and like how you carry yourself as a person. You will make grave mistakes when you are not being logical and listening to whole sides of the story and willing to grow and willing to accept that, you know, not everyone's the same and not everyone's going to agree with your political views. I mean, that's how life works. So I don't know. Like I said, I was pretty upset last night. Again, you know, it wasn't because I was like, yeah, I really want Hillary to be president, because honest to God, from the very beginning, you know, way before she was a freaking presidential candidate, I never liked her. I just I don't find her
she's
to be empowering to women.
Man.
Yeah, I'm like, is she a bionic woman? She's ice cold. She's very, very calculated. Like, I mean, I just have always found her kind of terrifying, honestly. So, no, I did not want her to be president either. But I just, I couldn't tell, like, who's the lesser of two evils. But America seems to believe that Trump is the lesser of two evils. And you know what?
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. You know, like you mentioned Bernie Sanders a little while ago. And when he threw his hat into the race, I would have voted for Bernie Sanders. And as before, with Obama's second reelection, we had Giuliani from New York. He was a former governor of New York. He threw in his hat, and I would have voted for Giuliani because I lived in New York during the last 2 years of his governorship or his mayoralship of New York City. And he cleaned up New York City big time. He did it in a way like Times Square, especially during the 80s and the 90s, was just became a real shithole of a place. And that's where all the tourism was. So, New York was losing a lot of tourism dollars because nobody felt safe going down there. Giuliani just decided, you know what? We can't get rid of all the crime, but what we can do is push it like two or three avenues east. And that's what he ended up being able to do. He just pushed all that riffraff out and sent it way down east, like two or three avenues, and said, you guys need to do what you're going to do. Just don't do it in Times Square, okay? And it brought in a lot more tourist dollars. That was his solution, and it worked.
But I'm going to tell you, though, that's like we see that there's a leak in the dam, and it is eventually going to explode. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to super glue this bitch together and hope for the best. That's that solution.
that was like the best that they could come up with. And they're like, all right, well, let's do this then.
That's exactly what we do not need in a president, though, to be perfectly honest. This is the best we can do. Let's just slap it together and hope. Like, we need someone that's very honestly forward-thinking. You know what I would freaking love? It's for a younger person to be president. Why do the presidents always have to be, like, old as shit and so out of touch? Like, she cannot use a desktop computer. She does not know how to use a computer. It's like it's 2016. You are so out of touch with people if you can literally not manage to use a desktop computer.
I know,
is something.
She went and got herself a Yahoo account for her emails. Like, come on, you just don't. Remember when we all used to have a Hotmail account? And then after a couple of years, when you had a Hotmail account, you were laughed at. Like, really? You got a Hotmail account? Because it just became so, a stigma.
Well, I still know people that have AOL accounts. It's, like, hilarious. It's, like, holy crap.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, but it's just people get set in their ways, right? People tend to get set in their ways. And that is not something we need in people or in a especially not in a president. And Donald Trump is sort of set in his ways, too. And older people tend to be like that, especially from, you know, back generations. Everyone constantly bashes on millennials and stuff. And I am actually a millennial, but I don't identify, obviously, perfectly with millennials.
You don't. You don't have a lifestyle of a millennial.
No, nothing. Like, nothing I've ever done is in line with the millennial, especially, like, my work ethic. Like, I take a job, I have that job for 6 years. That's a very unmillennial thing to do. They hop around, they get bored very easily. They tend to be I can't even think of it right now, but they expect things to kind of be handed
to
them.
They're entitled and they're
entitled,
unfocused.
And I mean, I think it just has to do with the technology bump, and also, you know, my parents definitely told me, they definitely did not pound at me. I'm like this unique flower that's going to change the world. That was not something. They were like, you control your destiny, but you have to work hard for it. Like, you cannot expect things to be given to you. They will not be. And in fact, like, you have to work twice as hard as the next person if you want to be successful. And also, you know, they taught me very much as well to listen and be open and never accept anything at face value. Always do my research, learn and grow, and be willing to accept when I've made a mistake. So, you know, or I'm wrong, and learn and grow from that. So I don't know. So that, you know, yeah, I definitely have a very different millennial view. But, I'm, you know, like I said, I think this was a huge slap in the face. The silent majority is real. And we got to make a – and this, like I said, I don't give a crap. See, this is what's funny. I will vote Republican. I will vote Democrat. I will vote Libertarian. If it's a good person, that's what it boils down to, who I appreciate their platform. As long as those things are in line, I will vote for them. I'm not a big, like, have to vote Democrat, have to vote Republican. That's not how I run. It's like, who's the best candidate right now? Who is saying the best things right now? And I just felt both Donald and Hillary, as a whole, there's huge problems with both of their campaigns. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I'm hoping for the best, you know? And I'm trying to believe that Americans voted for Trump not out of racist or, you know, sexist views. I'm hoping that like white nationalists are kind of like taking over our country, basically, because that's bad for most people. And, you know, a lot of these like Idaho and, you know, a lot of these like country red states don't even realize like how bad that is for them. If you're in the middle and poorer classes, you are segregated completely from white, like upper white class, like you are. You might not realize it, but you are. You're seen as second class citizens. So,
and that's something a lot of people won't acknowledge, because we live in such a politically correct atmosphere anymore that nobody wants to talk the truth about anything because for fear of offending somebody. And if you people understand that that is a reality, they don't want to look at it because they just want to pretend it doesn't exist, which doesn't make it go away, you know?
Right. The fact of the matter is, if you look at the last 20 years, the middle class is disappearing. It's becoming poverty and, you know, the rich. That's really what it is. Poverty level, you know, most people are living on poverty level now. And you know what's funny? Poverty level in California is really high. Like, if you're making like 30 or 40 grand, you're still kind of considered poverty level here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's like a menial
income.
We used to have an upper and a middle class. Now we barely even have a middle class. It's a dwindling middle class.
It really is. It really is.
And the middle class is what gives power to this country.
Right. You know, what's funny is I was actually just today having to sign up for Obamacare for the first time, like on my own. Like, my employer doesn't offer health insurance. And the cheapest, simplest, aside from me just getting like emergency if I get hit by a car insurance, the cheapest option I can get is $250 a month. This is like the very basic level of coverage aside from, okay, if I get hit by a car. Okay, this is like 1 to 2 doctor visits a year. If I get sick once, whatever, they cover that, you know, and preventative care, that's it. And it's $250 a month. I'm like, affordable, my fucking ass. How is that affordable? Like,
exactly.
I mean, I don't sit here and make a shit ton of money. Like, I really don't. I don't even know how this is viable. And then I think of, I make more money than most people I know, for fuck's sake. And I'm like, Jesus, how are other people doing this? And I don't know.
Yeah.
Our whole system right now is just screwed. It's just so fucked up. It's so messed up.
Well, now that we have a Republican in office, they're going to try to get rid of it because it's really not working. It was a good idea. And you know, we all want to see better public care come into play in our lives.
Well,
but that was just a weird
way
to go about it.
Well, here's the thing with that, though. Now, here's the flip side of the coin, though. I spent 7 years of my life without insurance and unable to get it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have previous, like, I have a heart problem that I've been born with. It was very hard for me to get medical coverage. So I spent 7 years of my life with no medical coverage whatsoever. And anything that was offered to me was always exuberantly expensive. So when you tell me that the Republicans are going to completely get rid of this, that actually scares me, too. Because then I'm going to have to go again without health coverage. It's unfair. It's unfair. Like, I think they need to figure out a system. I believe anyone who is working 40 hours a week at a job should be offered some semblance of affordable health care through their employer. To be perfectly honest, they got to find a way to do it. If he's going to lower taxes for businesses, then they should be able to use that money to fucking help cover our health coverage or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I'm terrified. You know, I'd rather pay the $250 a month right now and have health coverage than have to live 7 years again without it, personally. That's my personal opinion of it. So I hope that instead of completely wiping it out, they just find a better way. And like I said, I have no idea what that way is. I don't know, but I hope there's something. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a lot of people out there that agree with me, a lot of people that were in the same boat as me, unable to get health insurance, and it was really expensive and this and that. And it's a terrifying reality to live in when you cannot go to the doctor when you're sick. So
oh yeah, it sucks. Right. Well, we just had, I believe Jessica had just called in, and
okay.
She was on hold for a little bit there while we were calling, and then her number disappeared from my switchboard, so I just sent her a message saying, call back in.
Right.
So,
right.
There we go.
Well, there's
Let's
my,
see what's
there's
going on here.
Political.
Yeah.
There's my political
it's
rant. Hopefully I didn't piss anyone off.
It's been momentous. It's been a momentous couple of days for sure. I'm going to take this call, area code 614. Who have you got?
Hello.
Hello?
Oh,
there
you are.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi.
There she is.
About
that. Did
yeah,
I just hear a siren in the background there?
Probably.
She lives in a bad neighborhood.
No, I'm actually not in my neighborhood. I'm in a lovely neighborhood, Heatherdorf, but thank you. But side note, I'm glad that I missed your political rant because that's never enjoyable for me.
Whatever,
well,
you were
we
freaking
out,
out
of
last
way.
Night too. But yeah, oh,
well,
man.
We all were. We live in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And ironically, I was at a very gay bar, and literally, whenever it was announced that Hillary was conceding, like half of the waitstaff just dropped.
Oh no.
Yeah, I literally left. Like,
I had
like they were doing specials, so I got like two margaritas and tacos, which was like $20, and I gave the guy a $20 tip on the receipt and wrote, "It'll get better, I promise you. Just hang in there."
You know, it's funny. Last night, after the results came in here in my neighborhood, I live in Fullerton, which is in Orange County, and the people across the street in the next neighborhood over were lighting off fireworks and mortars and stuff and celebrating. I was like, I have never seen that happen before in any neighborhood that I've lived in. I've lived in this neighborhood for about 6 years. So, you know, when Obama got reelected 4 years ago, that kind of thing wasn't going on in my neighborhood. It was really weird. I'm laying in bed,
same.
And I just saw the results, and then I hear all these fireworks and stuff going on. I was like, this is crazy. This is nuts.
No, when Obama got elected the first time, I was in Chicago, and there were people screaming in the streets, running around,
oh,
there were fireworks, it was the whole shebang. Like, it was such a momentous, big deal. So I'm not that surprised that you'd see that. I am surprised it was happening in California, maybe in other states.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure in Texas, everyone shot up at least 3 bullets into the air. I'm sure there was only, like,
oh,
5
yeah.
deaths, and that's it.
Well, here's the thing. I think just in some of the – I think in some of the other states where Hillary was more – prominently winning, I think a lot of the Trump people cut their mouth shut.
Yeah. The
silent majority. Mm-hmm. They are real and they are watching you. They're actually in your closet right now, about to take some taxes from you.
I like to think of them as flies on the wall, just like
mm-hmm.
sitting there, not really being noticed, but watching everything that's going on, you know. But from what I heard, Hillary got the majority, but Trump got the electoral, which is that happens a lot, actually. So who knows what it really is. I mean, it's going to be another couple of weeks before they really start digging into the results, you know.
I honestly thought Trump did get the majority. Honestly, I thought he did. I could be
That's
wrong.
That's just
when
one
I
report I saw,
it,
and that was, this morning. So I don't know. Like I said, it's all going to come out in the wash. But Jessica, how are you doing?
Hello. I'm very
What
well
kind of day
you.
Did you have?
I had a very hectic day, but a good day nonetheless, one where everything went my way, which is really what you want, just way too much time sitting in Los Angeles traffic.
Yeah, L.A. traffic. Southern California traffic. It's like that everywhere down here.
Yeah.
Horrible.
I literally
had
over an hour drive at the end, and it was painful.
It sucks. Anytime after 2 p.m., from 2 p.m. to like 9 p.m., it's just heavy traffic everywhere you go. There's just no avoiding it. There's no way to get around it. Okay, I want to talk about now. Heather, I'd mentioned that I had her on my show back in March, and I think Jessica, I had you on last year, and I guess it was like November, December, something like that. So, you guys have been very busy over the summer, working together on quite a few things. One of the biggest things I was watching, or at least when I can get any information on, was Red Eye. You guys said, where did you guys go for that? I can't remember, was it down south or somewhere to film that?
It was in Kentucky.
Kentucky, okay.
Also known as Trump Central.
South. Well, What was that like? All right. Being up there in Kentucky.
It was. Come on now, dwarf. I was like, oh my God, they've made handmade wooden giant signs promoting Donald Trump. We're all going to die.
Well, what's funny? Well, we were in a neighborhood too where one person had like a Hillary, like a small little Hillary sign. The other person literally painted their whole house with like Trump's face on it. And I'm like, these people are gonna fucking kill each other before the end of the week. It was great. It was great. Oh man. But yeah, I mean, yeah, we were out filming Red Eye, which I think that was the last. Well, that was the last feature we most recently filmed. Was really rough and tumble, man. There was a lot of outdoorsy shit happening in that film, and I was not a fan. I was not a fan of the outdoorsy shit in the middle of Kentucky. There's a lot of bugs, a lot of wolf spiders.
That'll make you consider like being upset when I'm like, hey, dork, be half naked on the inside. I'll be like, at least you're not outside in the woods of Kentucky. Trump,
there was literally, I had a scene where I had to like lay my head in the grass for a second, and I'm not kidding, one of the crew is like, oh my God, come look at this. It was like 10 feet from my head, and I like get up really fast, and it was a wolf spider with a bunch of baby wolf spiders on her back, and it was literally 10 to 15 feet away from my head, and I'm just like, I am so done with this place.
Did it help with your acting though?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. You know, it's easy to play scared when you are literally actually scared. So,
when you have the director saying, okay, here's your motivation, and all you got to do is look at this wolf spider, there's your motivation.
Yep.
I would have that would have caused me to go into a severe panic attack, and I would have had to leave probably the state.
I'm not even kidding. I was there, too, and it was my last day of filming, too, and this was, like, the fifth time that I'd run into a huge-ass wolf spider really close to my exposed feet, so I was like pretty done at this point. But
nice.
Well, and what's funny too is, like, you know, we're supposed to be hiking throughout this movie. I mean, like, we're hiking a lot in it, we're walking like through the woods, and when I get there and they show me my my outfit for the film, he got me these like grandma loafers that didn't even fit. I'm like, I cannot wear these, like, these are gonna kill my feet, and also who hikes in these? So I had to wear my, like, own personal Jesus sandals. But, again, it just doesn't even play well because it's like, why am I hiking in the middle of the woods with Jesus sandals on?
Did you not tell me that those were hiking sandals?
No, they're not, like, woods. They're, like, fucking California Runyon Canyon. Yeah, there's a trail. That's a path. That is not real hiking. Woods hiking, like going out in the middle of the woods and stuff and trekking through like poison ivy, you don't wear shorts. You don't wear open-toed shoes.
They don't make shoes for that, dwarf. I used to say your
character. They make hiking shoes. They totally do have hiking boots, I promise.
Yeah, I've never gone out hiking in anything that wasn't called a boot. Like
yeah,
sandals,
I mean,
yeah, I'm going out hiking in sandals. I just don't see it.
No. Not through the woods, deep woods too. That's just it. But yeah, so it was super fun because I was always like constantly terrified that there was gonna be a spider on my foot or a snake or something. Even just
But you
now, can we talk about the movie? Like, what's the movie about?
It's a horror film. Would you say it's a slasher, Jess? I guess yeah. In a way, it's a slasher.
Classic slasher in the tone of all your 80s classics that you've known and loved.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly right.
And what are your roles?
I play Dave, who is basically there to serve the purpose of filling in the blanks for everybody watching. And she's also that girl who never kind of got out of that small town. And now, unfortunately, that's going to bite her in the ass.
Ah, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm just one of the stupid, you know, college or out of college kids who very stupidly decide to go on a camping trip in the middle of the woods alone with no way to contact people and think that's going to end well. It's great.
Seems to be a theme of a lot of those kind of slashers that take place out in the woods.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. It adds to the ambiance, honestly, but ugh.
Now I remember seeing a couple of pictures of Heather wearing overalls. That was a pretty interesting look.
Yes, I'm going
to
add it.
Spark did not get to pick her wardrobe, and she was – Dorf always has a heavy hand in wardrobe, typically, when I work with her, so it was really entertaining to see her have no control whatsoever.
Yeah, I show up, and I'm in, like, short overalls and Jesus sandals. I'm like, Jesus! Well, to be fair, Jess, usually my wardrobe with you is 90s, like half-naked shit. 90% of the time. Oh, it's like more boobs. There you go.
Well, anybody who's a fan of Scream Queen Stream knows that the boobs are there. It's right there. It's awesome to watch. It's like half of the thing right there for most of us guys is like, wow, what are they going to be wearing this week?
That's great, though. That's hilarious.
Now, I didn't get a chance to watch the episode for Scream Queen Stream that just came out today, Cooking with J-Cam. It's titled, What Kind of Meat Is This? I was telling Heather, I just got home an hour and a half before the show started, so I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. So what is on the menu for this episode?
Well, I decided to make ribs and broccoli and
okay.
So of those things, I've never tried to make a rib in my life.
Uh-huh.
I have made broccoli before, and I've failed a great many times at making rice.
At rice, huh?
Well,
okay, it's not
very rice. The rice that she made was like something that comes in a packet that you microwave. She didn't even make rice, for one.
Shut up.
Okay.
We open the microwavable door, I press the button, and I put it on the table.
No, but the reason why the episode is called What Kind of Meat Is This is because I just assumed, I don't know why I assumed this. For some reason, I thought they were pork ribs. I probably should have asked. I really should have. Because I'm like, how long do we cook them for? Like, what do we do? She had no idea. She's like, oh, just throw them in, whatever, hot. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah,
I Google, like, how long to bake ribs, right? And, of course, like, pork rib stuff comes up, and I just didn't think about it. Throw them in there, and then, like, you know, we leave them half the time at, like, half the temperature that she recommended, and all of a sudden I smell something burning. I'm like, oh, God. I go in there, and sure enough, they're burning. And they weren't even cooked up all the way, but they were definitely burnt on the outside because she didn't listen to me, and she made me pour the marinade all over them. So it just, like, you know, everything congealed.
Oh, yeah.
It was horrible. And then I'm, like, looking at them, I realized, yes, they were beef ribs. And I should have just fucking cooked them up. Yes, I should have just cooked them in the pan. To be perfectly honest, they would have been 1,000 times better. It's a girl. It's so crazy.
You know,
I didn't even think to ask.
You know how I cook ribs? This is how I cook ribs. I usually go for a pork baby back ribs, okay?
Right.
And I have a smoker. And actually, this last 4th of July, I did 5 racks of baby backs in my smoker. They take 6 hours. 6 hours.
I know. That is definitely the normal way to cook. Right. But we're in LA. I mean, like, you know, LA. No one has a damn grill here or a smoker or whatever. And again, they were short ribs. They weren't even like beef, like ribs. It was a hot mess. Oh, Lord.
So do we get to see any kind of...
You say hot mess, I say one of my most successful dishes. Everything is relative.
Which is not saying much, my friend. They tasted good. Like, the marinade she put them in was good, but I was scared to eat them because they were so undercooked and, like, burnt on the outside.
Yeah, you got to watch out for them little pathogens that like to wander around in meat unless it's cooked properly.
Right. Well, I think it was
fine. Nobody got sick
afterwards.
There was no fires. I'm going to say that goes in the wind category.
There was almost a fire, though. It was very close.
Now,
did we see
let me
smoke
just
coming
you,
out of the oven?
Had many a fire. That was not almost
yeah.
a fire. When there's almost a fire, there's like little baby flames, and you have to snuff them
yeah,
out.
There was
this
that.
Happens to me
there
pretty regularly.
Smoke.
That did not
this,
happen
there was...
in any capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Smoke doesn't count. Smoke is not a fire. It's more just like sharing the aroma with the rest of the world. It wants to be
yeah. the black charred aroma. It was lovely.
Heather, I gotta ask you, do you have a rated fire extinguisher for grease fires in your kitchen?
I have a fire extinguisher, but not like for grease fires. I mean, do fire extinguishers work, regular ones? probably not.
Uh-huh.
On a grease fire.
Okay.
So my apartment building,
because I was noticing,
after I lived there for about 2 years, put a fire extinguisher immediately outside of the door of my apartment. I'm not kidding you.
They knew.
I like to tell people that it's like standard health regulations, but it's just right there. So I don't have to have one. And that being said, I'm very surprised you haven't cracked it. But I've learned, like, there's some things that I don't cook because they're highly flammable. Like, anything that's in the breakfast meats category, I cannot cook. Nothing good will come of it. It will erupt in flames. And, like, if you've ever seen a fire made from, like, breakfast sausage, those flames are gigantic. Like, they're a bigger fire.
That's what you would call a grease fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, like, a big, big one.
Yeah, and you never throw water on a grease fire. It's like the worst thing you can possibly do. It just spreads it everywhere. And then you got a problem.
Right.
Then you're out of an apartment.
Yes. Yes.
I feel like
really good insurance.
Outside of my door.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Probably. I may take a wild guess, but yes, that is the answer.
Now, as I said, haven't had a chance to watch it yet because it just came out today, but I probably will be watching it this weekend. I did really get a lot of enjoyment out of the guacamole episode that was last month. That one, I really want to talk about that because, you know, Jessica requires constant monitoring because she likes to just go off on her own unless she's being immediately supervised with, you know, ingredients and proportions of said ingredients. Wow. You know, it's a good thing you had those extra avocados. I think you knew you needed to have
my creative cooking right.
Yes. No, she will literally throw so much pepper into the food that you no longer taste the food. And then she, you know, I mean, even in this episode, when you watch it, she fucking puts balsamic vinegar on everything. It's like, Jess, you do realize that everything is going to taste like balsamic vinegar because you have put balsamic vinegar in every part of the dish except for the rice. We might as well just pour it on the fucking rice at this point.
Yeah, because the rice is going to end up tasting like it anyway.
It does, because it's everywhere. This is a balsamic vinegar dinner.
If I like something, I really like it, and then I'm just like, let's throw it on everything all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, including pepper.
So you're like,
and
you're like overkill there.
Yes. She definitely
guacamole,
is.
Believe it or not, guacamole is easy to screw up. If you're making it homemade, like Heather does, it is easy. You got to get your proportions of your ingredients just right. Otherwise, you're going to have too much of this, not enough of that, and it's just not going to taste right.
Well, and Jess doesn't realize, too, that raw seasonings, when you don't mix seasonings,
right,
it's even more evident when you're dealing with raw seasonings that aren't going to be cooked. Like, the reason why she's gotten away with it thus far, pouring a shit ton of pepper into things and whatever, is because usually she does it in boiling water or on rice or whatever it may be, so that we don't end up getting the full effect of it. But when you do that in something that isn't going to be cooked up in anything, it's like, ugh. You're literally like, everything's like granular. Like, you're like eating, it's like all you do is taste the raw. Jeez. Oh, Lord. Poor Jess.
So
she tries.
I want to ask, this is something that I've been wanting to ask for a long, long time. I mean, you guys you're both so busy as it is, you know, Jessica being a director and actress and Heather being an actress, and you do graphic design too as well, and just all kinds of other things. And then what made you decide to start doing this internet show? What would you guys sit down and talk and say, you know what, we have such good fun together, we should film this stuff, and then it just kind of took off.
Well, that's pretty much go ahead, Jess, you go.
Oh, I was going to say, the original idea came like years ago, and it actually didn't involve Heather at the time. She wasn't in L.A. But I was just like, everybody always bugs me at like horror conventions. I was like, we want to see a show. And I was like, I can't do all the work myself. There's just not enough time in the day. And I forget my friends that I was hanging out with at the time, but they were really lazy. And I was like, they're just not a good fit. They won't do jack. And then as soon as Dorf moved to town, I was like, you know what? We should just do this. And even like true story, like if we're at the airport, because we travel a lot, we were at the airport one time, and this woman literally was like, you guys are amazing. You're just so entertaining. And it wasn't even like one of our more entertaining moments. It was just like us being in everyday life. Like, we have some pretty entertaining moments. This was not one of them. But she was just so enamored with us. And we're like, yeah, we do a little YouTube show because people seem to like it.
Right. Mm-hmm. It was definitely a funny moment for me because Jeff was actually like, we should do this. Like, people would be interested to see our dynamic and kind of see what our daily lives are like and get our take on things. And I was actually like kind of skeptical. I was like, we're not interesting like at all, or I didn't think we were, or we're just people, whatever. I don't see anything that we do being amusing because it's not like we're trying to be amusing. That's just how we are with each other.
Well, that's what makes it work, because you're not trying to be, you know?
Right. But I think that airport incident.
That dialogue of the guac episode where I'm like, more pepper, and you're like, fuck you. Like, I get that tweeted so many times.
I believe it. But, you know, it's funny, though, because, yeah, the airport thing was definitely kind of a wake-up call to me, because me and Jess, I don't remember what we were talking about, honestly, because it was just a normal conversation. We were just having a conversation, and this lady literally interrupted us and was like, who are you? You guys are entertaining. Like, I want to talk to you. I want to get to know you. And I, like, looked at Jess and I'm like, what the hell were we even saying that would make, like, a random, you know, airport pedestrian stop and want to get to know us because she found us, you know, comical or whatever, but who knows? But, yeah, I mean, I think the thing is we're both very blunt in different ways, and we both can kind of pick fun at ourselves and each other, and that's just how we are. And not everyone can do that, you know? Only, you know, can they accept it on themselves, but also, you know, give shit back to other people. Like, a lot of people have problems with that. But with me and Jess, it's just sort of, it really is just second nature. So it's just kind of, you know, it works.
Well, there are a lot of sensitive people in the world. They just can't, you know, like when I first moved out to New York, coming from the American Southwest, I wasn't used to that, the environment, the social environment. And what I learned is people that are very close, that's how they show their affection for each other, by digging at each other, and they throw it back and forth, and it becomes very entertaining. And I started to learn that at first I was a little overly sensitive. And, you know, but I started to figure it out. Like, I still have friends that I know out in New York, and that's the way we are with each other. And my friends out here in the Southwest as well, that my really close friends, that's what we do. We throw jokes and stuff around to each other. And mm-hmm. It's an affectionate thing. You know what I mean? A lot of people don't understand what that is or what it means, you know, like, If you don't have the time of day, you're not going to bother coming up with good material. You know what I mean?
Right.
If there's somebody that you just don't have that relationship with, you're not going to waste your time or your mental capacity to come up with something really funny or what have you, because you know it's going to be taken the wrong way. Whereas you two have that dynamic together.
Well, and it's funny. Well, it's awesome. The thing had been like I don't know if you know this, but I did a reality show called Brides of Beverly Hills. And from there, somehow or other, somebody nominated me, and it was mainly because I had done Brides of Beverly Hills, which had really good ratings at the time on TLC. They, like, nominated me for Worst Cooks in America. And I made it through, like, it's a real show. So I made it through, like, several rounds. And even, like, I was the whole time, I shouldn't be on the show. I'm, like, not a good cook, but I'm not, like, one of the worst cooks in America. So, like, literally, like, the last interview that I had, I had to go in front of all the higher-ups execs, and I literally made, like, 3 or 4 of my, like, broccoli, cauliflower, and cheese dish that I really liked. So I made, like, 3 of them so I could pick the one that looked the best. Because I was, like, in my mind, I was, like, I shouldn't even be up for this show. This is ridiculous. I'm really not that bad. And I, like, explained that to them on, like, in front of the camera, in front of them. And then they had to try it, and none of them would touch it. Like, they were so... That looks so nasty. So I'm, like, eating it. I'm, like, it's not bad, guys. Like, come on now. I was, like, this looks really good. You should have seen the 3 that didn't make the cut. I was up all morning because I was, like, no, that looks too bad. People are going to think I faked it. Try harder. Try harder. This is, like, number 4. I was, like, it doesn't get any better. So I, like,
wait a minute.
I, like, and they were just so enamored. They're, like, oh, my God, we need you on this show. And then they're, like, so, you, because, like, to get there, the one before that, I had to do, because I was in Sacramento at a horror con, they asked for a videotape before we make it to the final round. And my friends were like, what do you need us to do? And I was like, you just have to film me making something. And we were staying at a cheap little motel that had a kitchen in it. Like, what are you going to make? I was like, I don't know, scrambled eggs or something. I suck at making scrambled eggs, probably a good thing to show. And they're like, it's going to be so boring. I was like, I know, right? I don't know why they're doing this. But anyway, so I make the scrambled eggs, and they're literally like, that is the funniest thing ever. You're such an entertainingly bad cook. You're not just a bad cook. You're funny. Anyway, so that was that, and then it just sort of became a thing, like in an inside joke with my friends, where I was like, I'm going to cook for you. Not really. Ha-ha. And then, like,
so
the
wait,
band
that show
every
is called, episode. That show's called Worst Cook in America?
Yeah, Worst Cooks in America. I didn't take
I think
the deal
that's on,
because
I think it's on Netflix, actually. I've seen that show.
Oh,
now I'm going to have to watch
it. I didn't actually ever go on the show. Fun fact, they make you, like, hide, like, not have your cell phone for weeks. And their reasoning is they don't want you cheating or, like, looking at recipes. I was like, no, no, no. Why would I look at recipes? I'm not that person. I have emails and social media. Like, I have a whole world I have to keep up with. I'm not going to do it to cheat. I was like, you could just monitor what I have on. But anyway, so they wouldn't do that. So I did not go on the show. But that's kind of how the cooking with J-Cam started. But it's funny because every single time we do an episode that doesn't have a cooking with J-Cam segment, people, like, ask us why it's not there. And I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah.
I don't cook that often. Like, do you not see me on Twitter? I, like, share my Uber Eats code. People use it, and I get free food. And, like, I don't even have to cook. To be
yeah.
fair,
well,
I'm
that's one of the one
of
my favorite parts
my
of the show is cooking with J-Cam. That's every time I see one of those pop up, it's like, I got to watch this because they're so hilarious.
Oh, Jesus. I'm glad y'all
but another one,
in my pain.
Another one that was really good was the jelly bean challenge, those multi-flavored jelly beans that you guys had. Who was the guy that you had on? He was the director of one of the movies you'd worked on.
It was Tristan Clay of Red Eye.
Yeah, Tristan Clay. Man, that episode was really funny. Oh, yeah, it was called Jelly Bean Roulette or something like that.
Yeah, it was Bean Boozled. Oh, my God, was that horrendously bad, though.
That's why everyone's like, why weren't you on camera telling the ones? Because I was like, nobody wants to get those swipes. They taste disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean, they're legit. They're, like, legit bad. Like, I mean, I was gagging. So was Tristan on the Rotten Milk one or whatever the fuck it was. It was disgusting.
Oh, yeah, spoiled milk, yeah.
Boiled milk, and
no,
then there was
actually
like
came up with like a specialty
one.
Tin, I think, for Christmas that I nearly bought, and then I was like, if I buy this, I'm gonna have to do the game again, and that's not good.
It's definitely rough.
But also a super fun way to like break the ice when you're on a film set that you don't know people.
Right.
Oh yeah,
I agree.
I just wanted to talk
like,
about...
Here, let's bond over our mutual grotesqueness of eating this horrible-tasting flavored jelly bean.
Well, I think it's something everybody could bond over, right? You guys did
yeah.
an episode with Cards Against Humanity, and Heather, I understand that you came up with your own deck of cards for that game. Now, I'd never heard of that game before I saw that episode, and it looks pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's super fun. I mean, with the right people, it is a great time. With the wrong people, overly sensitive people, it can be super awkward. I have been before, trust. It was real bad. I played that game once with
that.
The wrong group of people.
Can we invite them over, feed them full of liquor, and film it?
No, really no, because it's not pleasant. I'm telling you, this isn't even amusingly unpleasant. It's like, it's unpleasant. But, yeah, I had a bunch of cards made. And what's funny is a lot of them are featured in that episode. I did mix up the deck, but for some reason, quite a lot of them were on that episode. So I was I was totally amused because they're really funny. but, yeah,
Poor
I had
deck,
my own
but,
custom
actually
deck.
Did not, kind of a little bit illegal, so.
It is. It is sort of. I mean, no. It's not illegal unless you sell them. Because Cards Against Humanity actually gives you the ability to do it on their site. It's just that I took it a step further. So they usually give you, like, they give you the whole template to get them printed at, like, Staples. But the problem was I wanted cards that you could not tell the difference between my cards and the cards that came in the game. So I had, like, professional cards printed, which was obviously way more expensive, but totally worth. Because I just didn't want people to know when they were holding one of my cards versus, like, the game card. I just wanted it to be, you know. So, no, it's not illegal to have your own ones printed. It's illegal to sell them.
So you're saying,
to print them in this.
I would say, DM us.
Do what?
And if I would say something hypothetical. You'd be like, the Dorf deck, limited edition 1, 6 cards, just message Heather Dorf or I, and perhaps we might communicate as far as possible pricing. Maybe, but not really.
That's illegal.
Well, then I'm really glad I didn't say that.
Yeah, I know. Totally hypothetical.
It's like, if I were to say, email Heather Dorf or I with the inquiry about the Dorf deck. Really,
I mean,
glad
really,
that was not said.
It's a great deck. There's some winners in there. Justin Bieber's vagina. I mean, there's quite a few. Trump's toupee. Blank, Make America Great Again. It's a super fun game. It's especially fun, like, when you're drunk and stuff.
I feel like that's
more
depressing, given the current climate, Doris. It was funnier when we all thought he wasn't going to win.
It's still funny. It's a thing. He's still a funny guy. Like, come on. In the sense of, he's done some pretty crazy shit. Like, I mean, there's some great ones in there, I'm telling you.
Oh, man.
All right, now, you guys did your first live stream about 7 months ago, and it was a live stream drinking episode. At 3 hours and 40 minutes, you guys went. Now, I got to say, when I got home from work, you guys had already been going with it. So, you know, I called up the YouTube, and I went to the video that was going on, and I did a little of the chatting in there with you guys. But by the time I got home and got you guys up on the screen, Heather was nowhere to be seen. So I started typing in questions to Jessica because she was sitting there by herself. Jessica, where's Dorf? What happened? And Jessica, I think you said, she's in the bathroom. And I was like, did I miss everything because I was at work? What happened there, Heather? And then what happened once the screen went dark?
What happened was five shots in an hour. On no food plus a drink. I had already had a drink before the stream even started, and then I was sipping on a drink and just had this great idea for every, like, few bucks or something in, like, donations or whatever, like, pledges to our Patreon, we'd take a shot. And what ended up happening was I was trashed in, like, 30 minutes. I mean, and not just, like, a little trash, like, totally zonked.
In my opinion, that's a fun night.
We have to up the amount. We have to up the amount. Like, not like per person, but like, hey, if we get this much, we'll do a shot. And we have to, like, space it. Because really, I was very drunk. And I just got very sick, is the unfortunate truth. That was the night I paid for into, like, middle of the next day.
But the funny thing is, she took my credit card, ordered a pizza, told the pizza guy if he made it there before the deadline that she would give him a strip tease.
But he didn't.
Passed out on the bathroom floor. I know he did it, but it's going to get funnier. So I literally, by fluke, I was like, I feel like she's probably dead. I should go check on her. And she was holding up her phone, and it was a pizza guy being like, hello, hello. She couldn't talk. So then I got the pizza, and I was like, sorry, dude. Dorf has passed out. No lap dance for you. And you did it. Dude, I agree. He did not make the time commitment to get the lap dance.
Right.
And then I brought in the pizza, and she was on the floor. And I was like, do you want pizza? And she just moaned. So I took a slice of pizza, and I put it, like, in front of her head.
Oh,
if she wanted to eat it, if she woke up, she just had to, like, move her mouth, like, a little bit ahead, and she could chomp on the pizza, which it seemed like a really good idea at the time. And then I took her cell phone, and I took a photo of her passed out, so that if she wanted to share it with the world, she could.
I think I saw that photo.
Yeah, I didn't actually share it. Jess did, but she got approval first, and I was like, whatever, because I wasn't completely naked. Yeah, but you know what's funny is I legitimately was so drunk, though. I literally could not talk. I'm not even kidding. When she came, she was like, who is that? I was like, who is that? I was like, try to tell her it's a pizza guy. I was like, just like, take. I like could not put whole sentences together. Like, it was the weirdest. I've never been that drunk in my life. It was horrible.
And I don't know that she'll ever be drunk that drunk again.
Not if I can avoid it. Oi.
One other thing I want to talk about. Listen, you guys, I don't know how many videos now you have on Screen Queen Stream. Hey, I'm getting better at saying it.
Yep.
But one of my favorites was when you guys were filming Red Eye. You did a little behind the scenes. I like to affectionately call it Dorf in the Ball Pit. But, of course, it's a behind-the-scenes called Drunk at Walmart. I really want to hear your guys' take on Heather being drunk just watching you crawl all the way up to the top of this
That's
ball pit,
all
and
Dorf.
You literally
That's
just
all her.
Fell
I did not
right
put her
in.
Up to that. It was not my plan.
Here's the thing.
It was beautiful.
I know, right? I literally went head first, which was rough, like, in retrospect, it was really stupid. Like, I probably could have gotten really hurt, but you know, they keep you up good enough anyways. But, and you know what's funny is if you really, we have like two different angles of it, but if you see the one angle, you can literally see the guy like sweeping the floor in the back, and he just stops and like shakes his head. He's like, you've got to be shitting me, these people. Like, who does this? I don't, like, I mean, the thing is, I just thought it was a good idea, honestly. It just seemed like it'd be funny. I didn't really think about, like I said, if I could get hurt, because apparently, like, when I was, like, right before I got to the very top, the whole thing, like, tipped a little bit. That's why the girls started, like, running towards me, because they thought it was, the whole thing was going to go over, which would have been really bad for me and Walmart. But
yeah.
I don't know. It really just genuinely seemed like a good idea. So I was like, fuck it, I'm going in.
The funniest thing was you went in the top head first, and then you come out of the bottom where kids can come up and take the big balls out of the bottom. And you come crawling out of that little hole just laughing your ass off. I was like, this is great, man. This is what we want to see.
In case anyone wants to know, though, that shit is super painful. Do not suggest. Because the thing is, you just fall down, right? And it's not that you hit the ground, but, like, you can even see my legs, like, part of my legs are, like, through the front of it. One of my arms is, like, through the side, and I'm just, like, you know, like that game of like where you put the dominoes like in the top or whatever, you know what I'm talking about? Or the little like round things and whatever it's called, Connect Five or whatever the hell that game is. It's like
except
as a human. And you're just like boom, 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 boom.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I mean, it was great. And you know what's funny is the last few Walmarts I've been to since then, I've noticed they don't have ball pits. I'm wondering if they're like getting rid of those because like too many people are doing that.
Well,
oh, no,
I mean,
possibly.
It might be becoming some kind of epidemic. I'm sure they don't want, you know, even sober people crawling up to the top of the thing and diving right in. That's a potential for injury and what have you. I want to ask you,
Absolutely. Since
I have you both on and I've been looking forward to doing this show for a long time, is I know Heather's from Chicago and Jessica, you're from Canada. How did you guys end up meeting?
Correct.
Was it through the industry?
Yeah, it was through Indie Film. Like, it was. We officially met in person on set. Like, I was aware of Jess. She had messaged me a few times, or I had messaged her, like, via Facebook and stuff. Like, I was aware of her because she wasn't, you know, indie horror film actress, and I was trying to come up as one. And we did a film together, Intrusive Behavior, in Florida, and we were both leads.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time I happened to meet her. It was funny because we had to sleep in the same bed together in the same room. And I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, if we don't get along, this is going to be super awkward. Cause it's like days where you have to like lay. Do what, Jess?
I was just making a
Jess?
Reference.
Oh, yeah. Well, either way, I was like, it's going to be really awkward if we don't get along, like, at least like on some level. But we did. We really hit it off like right off the bat. And yeah, I mean, it was, I feel like, sort of fate, because, you know, there's a lot of people that work in this industry. You're not necessarily going to bump into them. So it was kind of lucky. But, yeah, after that, we became pretty much fast friends. I think it took me, like, another year or two to move to L.A.
It did, but that's also where, because, like, I had to rape you with a crowbar in that movie. Spoiler.
Yep. True.
So nothing cements a friendship, crowbar rape on camera. I'm just saying, if you're wondering.
Right. Fucking gently with a crowbar.
Right?
Exactly.
It's good time.
So then from there, out to L.A., you guys started hanging out a lot more and then just started getting involved with more projects together? Because I noticed, especially over this last year, you've been working on a lot of things together.
Well, to be fair, before I even moved up, like, I did Truth or Dare with her. That was, like, 3 months later, after Intrusive Behavior. She had me on Truth or Dare. And, you know, anytime she was in Chicago or whatever, she'd stop by and stay with me or vice versa. Or I'd see her, you know, if I came up here, which was rare. But, yeah, once I moved to L.A., that's when we started, like, really, you know, hanging out and being around each other kind of 24/7. And, yeah.
We also did the existed before you moved here. Like, we worked on
yeah, that's
stuff
the thing.
Too.
We did the tour. That's why I was like, yeah, no, we were hanging out. We were totally hanging out before that. We did quite a few conventions together. The tour was shot in London, and we did that together, too, before I moved here. So, yeah, no, we hung out a bunch. Like, it wasn't like me moving to L.A. cemented our friendship. Really intrusive behavior cemented our friendship pretty right away. And then from then on, we started pretty consistently working together.
Speaking mm-hmm. of intrusive behavior, can we go back to how you said with a level of disdain that's hard to miss that you were aware of me?
Well, you know what I mean? Like, from Facebook, I saw, like, movies that you were getting promoted in, and you also fucking post on everyone's profile, thanks so much for the ad. My friends are full, but add me on this page.
You're damn right I do. That's called marketing, and you're welcome.
I know, but I'm just saying, I didn't know you. I hadn't met you. I did ask you once, I think, like you said, about your makeup or whatever, because I thought you had really pretty makeup. But we never really, like, talked or anything, and it wasn't until I met you on Intrusive Behavior that, you know, we actually had a full-on conversation.
Wait a minute. Heather, would you say
sure,
that you ended up really
to.
Getting to know Jessica as a result of excellent marketing?
No, that's what I mean. No, I knew Jessica was an indie film actress. I knew she was from Canada. I knew she used to be in Ohio. And I knew some of the films that she was, like, set to be in. But I didn't know who she was. That's it. I didn't know her very well. Weirdly, though, we were both on another movie, which never came to fruition. I mean, we filmed it, but it, and I'm not even going to say what it was, because let that just be dead. That movie, but we did shoot it together in Indiana, but we weren't on set together, so that was another thing. It's like, I knew who she was, and she was in the film that I was in, but we didn't have any scenes together, so I never saw her. And then
yeah.
like a year later, we were on set together for Intrusive Behavior.
Ah, okay. Good. Anything going on in the future that you could talk about? I mean, you guys always got something going on. You know, looking at the filmography, Solitary Confinement, you were both in together, and that's been announced, but it hasn't started filming yet?
Oh, no, we're done with that. We filmed that.
Oh, sorry. I read that wrong. It says filming.
Oh, no, it's okay. Yeah, no. It's fine. No, yeah, we finished that. Jess, do you want to chime in on that one?
Oh, absolutely. No, we wrapped that this summer. They're going to be in post. I would think that we'll start to see it make festival rounds next year with Solitary Confinement. That's a filmmaker that I adore. And cannot wait to see the end results. And also, we'll work with again. I'm sure he's a really, really talented individual. And the ensemble cast on that movie is really, really talented.
Right. It's great. And it's
noticed,
all improv too.
Yeah, I noticed it. You know, it only mentions. Heather is contestant 84, and Jessica is contestant 103. What is this movie about?
Jess, you're better at explaining. You do it.
Yeah. Okay. So essentially, it focuses on a reality show, and in order to compete with the reality show, you have to agree to go into solitary confinement. And
okay.
The game is set up so that whoever stays in the longest is going to get all the prize money and everything. And so all of the actors who are with a number by their name, that's their number that they're in the cell. And they basically go
mm-hmm.
into thinking it's going to be just a standard reality show, and then very, very quickly find out that it is not.
Okay. Sounds pretty interesting.
It's really fun, and we got to improv a lot of what our characters were saying and doing, which was such a wonderful acting experience, and then also just fun to explore that dark aspect of humanity.
Yeah. There's this movie on Netflix. I haven't watched it yet, but I've had a couple people tell me you should check it out. I think it's called Would You Rather. And it's like this really dark, horrific kind of, you have to make these really bad choices. A friend of mine in New York had watched it, and he said, dude, you got to check this thing out. I just haven't had time to watch too many movies lately, but it sounds kind of something like that. But wow, you guys, I'm looking at your filmographies here, and you've been in, let's see, An Ending, another one that you filmed this year that you were in together.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And then, Heather, you're in Ed Gein DDS, and it says that you're rumored. Missy is a rumored. Now, what does
I
that mean?
To get him. no, I have got to get him to update that. That film, like, wrapped. It's done. It's been done for years. Like, I filmed that years ago when I was still in Chicago. It's a part of an anthology called Another Hole in the Head, I think. That's long been filmed. That was just a little short I did. Super fun time. Like I said, part of an anthology.
It doesn't have a year. It doesn't have a release year listed on it. So
I know, it's so silly. And everyone asked me about that too. I got it. It was Corey Adler. I got to message him, be like, hey, take this down.
Found the chapter,
or you know. Yeah. Or maybe I'll. Yeah. We gotta get that submitted and done, because that was like years ago.
You know, it's funny because, you know, people think that IMDb is like the be-all, end-all of information, and it's really not. A couple of years back,
right,
I was a co-host on another show, and we had Marla Gibbs on, and she didn't know anything about IMDb or whatever, so we were asking her questions based on her IMDb page, and so much of it was erroneous, and it was pretty embarrassing as a host to you know, be pulling your information from the internet, from what you consider to be a reliable source, so that you can have some good questions, you know, and things going on. And we would ask her some of these things that we're reading right off the IMDb page live on the air. And she's like, that's not true. Where does that come from? But in the end, it worked out because she talked to her publicist like the next day. And said, would you look into this thing? Because she doesn't know what IMDb is. And so it turns out that she was able to have a lot of that stuff either removed or corrected. So we ended up doing her a favor, you know, which felt really good. And she thanked us. And she even came on the show again, too, which was great. I figured we'd never see her again.
Right.
So, yeah, IMDb is not exactly the most reliable source for information I learned over the last couple of years. But I still use it.
Right, for sure. No, yeah, it happens. So I've had it happen too, where I got added to projects I had to ask to be removed. So definitely sucked.
I see. Well, I got to tell you, I've had an amazing time with the both of you. Guys are so much fun to talk to, and it's just
thank you so.
It's great
much.
To have. It's great to have questions answered that I've always wanted to ask, and I'm sure a lot of people wanted to know a lot of the same types of things, especially, you know, Heather Dorf in the ball pit was just an amazing little clip there. I love that thing.
You're sorry. I did not.
And I look. I know. Everybody understand that. Cameron has no culpability for Heather's actions in that particular thing. We got it out there. Talk to legal about it.
Right.
But I do have to go because I have an early morning. And I know you guys have your things going on. It was awesome to have both of you on. Thanks so much for calling in and being on Bald Head Radio. You guys are awesome. I hope you enjoyed yourselves.
Yes, definitely.
We always do.
Thank you so much
nice.
For having
you guys,
us.
You know, you guys are always welcome back anytime you got something going on or whatever. You know, you guys are always
for
welcome.
Sure. Awesome.
Very cool.
All right, hon. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thank you so much for being here. It's Heather Dorf and Jessica Cameron together for the first time on Bald Head Radio. And what a wonderful time. I'm your host, Brett Crewson. And have a wonderful week and have an awesome weekend.
Stay bloody.
Thank you.